A shield with the letters WB on a black screen. The shield and letter B disappear, and the central stroke of the letter W becomes red and turns into a letter I. Warner Independent Pictures, a Time Warner company. A prism of dazzling light leads to a rectangular box. National Geographic feature films. A glowing moon peering out from behind dark clouds is reflected in a mirror-like pool. The image is shattered by falling droplets, which send little circular ripples across the water. Bon Pioche appears boldly in a galaxy of stars. Warner Independent Pictures and National Geographic Feature Films present a Bon Pioche production in association with Wild Bunch. A huge sheet of ice, like a thick slab of brilliant white fondant, floats in a cold, dark blue sea. The water undulates with tiny ripples. A film by Luc Jacquet. With the participation of Buena Vista International Film Production, France, and Canal Plus. A glimmering, pristine mass of vast, irregular ice formation stretches to the horizon. Turquoise water glistens in a cove at the base of a towering white ridge. A co-production with Alliance de Production Cinématographique in association with the French Polar Institute, IPEV, narrated by Morgan Freeman, music by Alex Verman. A circular pool of pale blue water lies in a hollowed-out depression of ice. Cliffs of the purest white rise majestically out of the ocean. Edited by Sabine Emiliani. Cinematography, Laurent Chalet, Jérôme Maison. Executive producer, Ilan Girard. Produced by Yves Darondeau, Christophe Liaud, Emmanuel Priot. Based upon the story by Luc Jacquet. Based upon the screenplay by Luc Jacquet and Michael Fessler. Narration written by Jordan Roberts. Directed by Luc Jacquet.
There are few places harder to get to in this world, but there aren't any where it's harder to live. The average temperature here at the bottom of the Earth is a balmy 58 degrees below. That's when the sun is out. It wasn't always like this. Antarctica used to be a tropical place, densely forested and teeming with life. But then the continent started to drift south, and by the time it was done drifting, the dense forests had all been replaced with a new ground cover. Ice.
A half moon hangs in the sky.
As for the former inhabitants, they'd all died or moved on long ago. Well, almost all of them.
In the distance, small black shimmering figures.
Legend has it that one tribe stayed behind.
Against a backdrop of a towering icy mountain, the little figures head onwards in a broken line with a slow, steady waddle.
Perhaps they thought the change in weather was only temporary, or maybe they were just stubborn. But whatever their reasons, these stalwart souls refused to leave. For millions of years, they have made their home on the darkest, driest, windiest, and coldest continent on Earth. And they've done so pretty much alone. So in some ways, this is a story of survival, a tale of life over death. But it's more than that, really. This is a story about love.
March of the Penguins. A glossy, shining rock of ice points to the sky.
Like most love stories, it begins with an act of utter foolishness.
A penguin catapults out of the water onto a field of ice.
The emperor penguin is technically a bird, although one that makes his home in the sea. So if you're wondering what he's doing up here on the ice, well, that's part of our story. Each year, at around the same time, he will leave the comfort of his ocean home and embark on a remarkable journey. He will travel a great distance. And though he is a bird, he won't fly. Though he lives in the sea, he won't swim. Mostly, he will walk. But he won't walk alone.
One after the other, penguins hurl themselves out of the water onto their white, swollen bellies, then slide towards the rest of the group. They stand, huddled together, waiting.
It is March. Summer is over. And another long polar winter is about to begin. The birds have been feeding in the ocean waters for 3 months. Now, their bellies full, it is time to find a mate.
Standing upright on webbed feet, the penguins have black, shiny, waterproof feathers.
Their breeding ground can be up to 70 miles away. To get there, they will walk day and night continuously, sometimes for a week. It is a long, dangerous, and seemingly impossible journey, and some of them will not survive it.
One late arrival.
Nonetheless, when the last of the clan has finally clambered onto the ice, their long march will begin, just as it has for thousands of years.
A penguin takes a step forward, signaling the colony to march onwards. All together, then, some slide along the ice, others waddle on. Initially in huddles, the group soon form into a meandering line, all heading in the same direction. These pilgrims have smallish black heads adorned with white and yellow ear patches, short, thick necks, a streamlined shape, short, wedge-shaped tails, and tiny flipper-like wings. Viewed from behind, they resemble a superfluity of nuns heading to evening prayer. Swaying from side to side with short little steps, the penguins march in a ragged line, two by two or alone, across the white landscape. Flanked by huge, craggy blocks of ice which cast shadows over the little travellers as they go, the colony stretches into the distance. The penguins' apron-like bellies are white, but with their upper breasts showing a pale yellow. Viewed from the front, they appear like a group of waiters heading with due diligence to their posts.
The destination is always the same. Their path, however, is not. The ice on which the birds travel never stops shifting and changing. New roadblocks will appear to baffle them every year.
The travelers stop in their tracks.
We're not exactly sure how they find their way. Perhaps they were assisted by the sun or the stars. Or maybe, having taken this march for thousands of generations, they are guided by some invisible compass within them. They never stay stumped for long. Eventually, one of them will pick up the trail, and the journey continues.
One penguin steps away from the group and waddles on. Another follows it, then another, and another. Without any squabbles of disagreement, the entire colony tag along, ambling onwards at a slow but steady pace. From the distance, the penguins toboggan along on their bellies, looking like a long line of ants or a slow-chugging train.
When they get tired of walking, they'll give their feet a rest. They'll use their bellies instead.
Using their webbed feet to propel them forward and their little flipper wings to balance, the pilgrims slide along on their white bellies. The penguins clamber over a soft snowdrift with some difficulty, inching their rounded bodies to the top of the drift, then sliding down the other side. Now standing upright on their webbed feet, the penguins huddle together as they ascend another tricky slope. Some try an alternative route around the slope. Others drop headfirst down the bumpy incline, gently nudging one another along. A penguin rises to its feet at the bottom.
Theirs is usually a graceful parade.
And is shoved.
But not always.
The penguin scuttles after the others. A ribbon trail of pioneers moves slowly across a vast plain. Other colonies appear on the plain, scattered temporarily into small huddles. Tiny groups of two and three, and occasionally one, stands alone.
Each day, the temperature drops a little further. And the sun will set earlier.
An icy mist blows across the plain.
The weather becomes noticeably harsher, almost by the hour.
Mountains of ice, like silent giants, rise out of the frozen landscape.
By now, similar caravans are approaching from every direction. And finally, often on the same day, even around the same time, they will arrive at the place where each and every one of them was born.
The caravan of penguins now stretches endlessly into the distance. The travelers waddle on in orderly fashion. Here and there, a handful toboggan across the flat, snowy plain. An immense mountain range lies ahead. The trail of penguins curves round it. The pilgrims have reached their destination, a rookery on an ice shelf protected by mountains. They gather in huddles as though chatting. Others scuttle about, heads nodding this way and that, as though to see who's there. One penguin stands with some authority. It flaps its wings whilst observing a group of fellow travellers glide past on their bellies.
Here they will mate in relative safety. They are now far from the water's edge where most predators lurk, and the large ice walls will offer some protection from the harshest winds. But the real reason they have chosen this place lies beneath their feet. The ice is thicker here. It will stay solid until summer, keeping their young from accidentally falling through into the freezing ocean. And so, having arrived, they begin to pursue their journey's purpose, finding a mate. We don't really know what they're looking for in a partner. We only know that they are, in fact, looking. We also know when they've found what they're looking for.
A pair of penguins stand close together, their beaks crossed, like two lovers kissing. A portly penguin waddles through the crowd.
Emperor penguins are monogamous, sort of. They mate with only one partner per year, which means every new season, all bets are off.
A penguin flaps arrival with its wing.
Because there are fewer males than females here, hostilities among the ladies are inevitable. A taken male instantly becomes an unavailable male. So, occasionally, a female will attempt to interrupt a courtship.
Two females engage in an unseemly squabble for a male, flipping and flapping their wings at each other and shoving each other about.
The men don't seem to mind. They just wait for the fight to end and take the opportunity to preen.
The ladies are left to flap it out.
They're not that different from us, really. They pout. They bellow. They strut. And occasionally, they will engage in some contact sports.
A penguin lies on his belly and is shoved along the ground by a crowd of others in what looks like a rugby scrum. Two of them flap each other in a matey way. A trio of penguins stand together, chests thrust out. Then more flapping takes place. The trio take a few moments to eyeball each other, their breaths turning to icy vapor. A gang of penguins head off together, shuffling past several dozing members of their party. The penguins, anchored to the ground by their large, sturdy bodies, appear to be having a nap. Two of their number waddle off like two coppers on the beat.
Within a few weeks, one way or the other, most of the animals have found the one they are looking for.
Pairs of penguins are discernible everywhere amongst the colony, each pair cozying up together in courtship. A pair stand facing each other with their heads bowed and almost touching. The pair barely move, but emit little contented noises. One of the pair slowly raises its head, the other follows suit. The sleek black, White and yellow waterproof feathers of the penguin resemble glossy skin. Their black eyes shine like beads. One of the pair flirtatiously bows its head again, holding it close to its chest. The other bird sways its upper body about, then holds its bowed head next to its partner's. The birds lean closer until their white breasts touch. They raise their regal heads, then the male gently holds the female's beak in his beak. Stroking the female's head with his beak, the male carefully mounts the female, who's lying on her belly on the ice. Slowly and attentively, like a sensitive lover, the male holds his head gently against the female's as they mate. The tip of his beak rests against his partner's white neck. His breast brushes rhythmically against the top of her head. All around them, penguin couples are engaged in the same delicate courtship rituals. After a lengthy and tender copulation, the female rises to her feet.
For the next 8 months, these two will participate in an ancient and complicated affair. There will be tenderness. There will be separation. There will be reunion, and if their partnership is successful, there will be new life. For now, they wait. For the egg, and for the brutal winter, which will do everything in its power to destroy that egg.
The penguins huddle together. In the distance, across a snowy, inhospitable field of ice, a golden sun sets on the horizon. Ice mountains glisten. A freezing mist spreads like a transparent veil over the land. A penguin stands, facing the setting sun.
By May, the light will nearly have disappeared from the sky, and the temperature continues to drop.
A lone penguin stumbles.
And for those who began their march too late, or have fallen behind because of weakness or hunger, hope of survival is now remote.
The penguin tramps on with slow, faltering steps. Ahead of him, there's a white wilderness devoid of companions.
The lone penguin has no chance against the winter's cold. He will simply fade away, absorbed by the great whiteness all around him.
Cruel, jagged shards of ice glisten under the setting sun. Up close, mountains of ice are textured and delicate and individually unique. Fragile stalactites hang from the mouths of caverns. The penguins huddle together in large and small groups, standing about 4 feet tall. From above, they resemble a forest of little trees.
As winter descends, the tribe's only defense against the freezing cold is the group itself. It is almost as if they create another organism altogether. The huddled animals form a single moving mass, one designed for the sole purpose of sustaining warmth.
Sleet beats down on the colony.
Winter's first storm is upon them.
The waning moon, three quarters of its disk visible, hangs in a muted pale blue sky. Tiny thread-like feathers blow about on the curved upper tip of a penguin's beak. The moon is now waxing.
Within a few weeks, days begin to pass with virtually no light at all. Moons come and go in the soon-to-be endless night. And finally, one day in early June, we remember why they came here.
A penguin raises a thick white fold of skin and feathers that hangs from her lower abdomen over her webbed feet. Once lifted, this insulating brood pouch reveals a large white egg, which is balanced on her feet.
As soon as the egg appears, it is instantly hidden from the cold. The tiny beating heart within the shell cannot survive much more than a moment's exposure to the freezing air.
The male penguin stands alongside. Both birds appear to canoodle, then dip their heads down like doting parents to admire the egg. Each bird lifts its head up and back to stretch its neck. The female inches forward, then once again raises her furry roll of skin until the egg peeps out from beneath its cozy resting place.
From now on, the couple has but a single goal: keeping their egg alive. The hungry mother must return at once to the sea to eat. But before she leaves, she must entrust the egg to its father.
The mother inches closer to her mate. The egg lies by the father's feet. He tries to maneuver it into place with the tip of his beak, but fails to lift it onto his feet.
Some, young couples perhaps, are too impulsive or rushed.
The egg rolls away from the father over the icy ground towards the mother.
And within moments, their affair comes to an end.
The couple do their best to return the egg to its safe haven, but fail. The two penguins hang their heads and helplessly look at their unprotected egg.
They can only watch as the ice claims their egg and the life within it.
Now gripped by the icy cold, the egg cracks along its length. The crack broadens and deepens. Other hairline cracks traverse the delicate shell as it lies abandoned on the frozen ground.
This couple's partnership is now over. The long march in vain. With no reason to stay, they will wander back to the sea. Other couples have lost their egg as well.
Abandoned eggs litter the ground.
As for the others, the partnership is about to change. With unending patience, the pair rehearses the steps they will need to transfer the egg from the mother to the father.
A couple prepare to pass the egg from one to the other. The male shuffles closer.
They practice this clumsy ballet dozens of times if need be. And then, with great care, they will dance it.
The couple totter round each other, inching closer. The female steps back from the egg. The male moves forward until the egg is positioned between his feet. He rests his brood hatch over the egg to keep it warm as he continues to take little steps to coax the egg into place. He nudges the egg with the tip of his beak, then moves it forward and cuddles it between his feet.
And now begins one of nature's most incredible and endearing role reversals. It is the penguin male who will tend the couple's single egg. While the mother feeds and gathers food to bring back for the newborn, it is the father who will shield the egg from the violent winds and cold. He will make a nest for the egg atop his own claws, keeping it safe and warm beneath a flap of skin on his belly.
The father maneuvers the egg onto his feet.
And he will do this for more than 2 months.
The mother watches the father take charge of her precious egg by perching on his heels so that the egg is snuggled firmly on top of his feet beneath his insulating brood pouch. Light illuminates the creamy whiteness of the eggshell before the father's warming feathered abdominal drape drops over it. The couple linger together for a short while, ensuring the safe position of their egg.
Having passed the egg, the exhausted female must depart quickly.
The female waddles away.
She must eat soon, or she will die.
The male remains standing upright with a colony of other brooding males.
As the winter progresses, the father will be severely tested.
The mother crunches her way across the ice field.
The mother will be tested as well. Her return trip to the sea is considerably more difficult than the original march to the nesting ground. It is colder now, and she will have lost almost a third of her body weight producing the egg. She is literally starving. Of course, the fathers are nearly starving, too. But for them, a meal is far off in the distance. By the time their vigil atop the egg is over, the penguin fathers will have gone without food of any kind for over 125 days, and they will have endured one of the most violent and deadly winters on Earth. All for the chick.
Females from all over the colony depart for the sea. They cut lonely figures as they head across the ice, in no particular order, slowly trudging further and further away. The males remain huddled together with the next generation nestled under their furry brood pouches. In time, the females disappear behind ridges of ice. A male penguin rests his head against his breast as though asleep. The yellow feathers of his ear patch, a brilliant contrast to his sleek black and white plumage. The females meander onwards in a group, looking from behind like small people in oversized, sloppy sweaters. Some of them waddle, some of them slide along on their bellies. Now walking two by two, the little group of females waddle onwards into the white wilderness. In the distance, the sheer white walls of an ice mountain glow luminously in the moonlight. Some rocks lie partially exposed on a snowy white plain. The colony of male penguins are still huddled together. A veil of dark cloud drifts past a full moon. A blizzard whips past the colony, but the males remain steadfast. Clumped together, they rigidly resist the biting sleet.
As the fathers settle into their long wait at the breeding ground, the winter's second storm arrives. The temperature is now 80 degrees below zero. That's without taking into account the wind, which can blow 100 miles an hour.
One penguin shuffles alongside the group, trudging his way through inches of snow.
Though they can be aggressive during the rest of the year, at this time, the males are totally docile, a united and cooperative team. They brace against the storm by merging their thousand bodies into a single mass. They will take turns, each of them getting to spend some time near the center of their huddle, where it's warmer.
A film of winter whiteness covers their shroud-like coats. The fathers stand side by side, erect and unyielding in the swirling, ice-laden wind. So tightly packed are they that in the center of the group, all one can see are the sloping backs, bowed heads, and yellow and white ear patches of the birds. Some raise their heads above the crowd momentarily.
As they move about, the fathers will balance their eggs like tightrope walkers.
A father carefully shuffles along with his egg balanced on his feet. A biting wind lashes out at the colony, piercing its way through their tight huddle. The birds sway to and fro until they appear to be propelled into a strange type of dance where they flap their wings and dart their heads about. Some drop down onto their bellies. One penguin looks down at his blackened egg, now sitting on the icy ground between his feet. The group shuffle around. An egg lies abandoned on the ground. A penguin's foot kicks at it. One bird bends down to inspect it. Other birds have managed to protect their eggs and take tiny tottering steps with them. The wind blows savagely across the frozen terrain and swirls past jagged ice ridges. The group of mothers trudge slowly onwards.
The exhausted mothers have marched 70 miles. They are now back where they started 3 months ago. But they aren't anywhere near the water's edge. New ice has formed along the shore, forcing them to walk several more miles before they reach the sea.
They waddle and slide across the frozen lid of ice. Beneath it, there's clear, tranquil water.
Food is actually only a few inches below them. But they have no way of getting to it here.
A shoal of tiny fish dart through the water. A jellyfish with transparent, vivid red internal organs floats in the darkness. The penguins plod on.
To survive, they must reach the new ice edge or find some other opening. Sometimes, this search will last for days.
The females drop onto their bellies and slide onwards, surrounded by a spectacular kingdom of frozen mountain peaks and sheer white cliffs of ice. From a distance, their little black forms, which sway from side to side as they propel themselves forward, resemble a clutch of rowers on a white lake. They're the only sign of life on the landscape. Here and there, water gently ripples on the surface at the edge of the ice shelf, where the snow and ice are starting to freeze. Tiny icicles drip. The overhead sky is tinged with a pale pink. At last, the females have arrived at their destination. They slide along in sprightly fashion over the semi-frozen ice, and as they pause momentarily by an open pool, their upright figures are reflected in the water. One after the other, the females nosedive into a hole in the ice.
Naturally, after their long walk, they are eager to get back in the water. Sometimes, a little too eager.
Two females dive together into the hole and are wedged there like a cork. With feet and flipper wings flapping, one eventually slithers through the opening, and the other quickly follows. Thousands of tiny air bubbles are emitted as the penguins thrust themselves towards the depths. No longer looking like slow, waddling creatures, the penguins tear through the water like bullets. The penguins coast about through the vast underwater arches and caverns of icebergs. A dim shaft of sunlight penetrates the deep blue of the ocean. A penguin swims through the water, flitting along, before surging downwards in search of food. An iceberg, a sentinel of the sea, has a vaulted cathedral-like arch through which a penguin effortlessly glides.
They can hold their breath for over 15 minutes and dive to a depth of 1,700 feet, approaching the seafloor itself to feed on fish, krill, and squid.
A penguin snatches something from beneath the frozen surface.
They will also skim along the ice just below the ocean's surface, searching for any fish that may have lodged there.
The penguin darts about, opportunely seizing any morsel it can.
While the mothers finally fill their empty bellies, the fathers cling to life on the surface, trying to keep the eggs safe and warm.
The fathers are grouped in their tight huddle, facing inwards, heads bent, with their backs to a bitter, whipping wind. One male shuffles along the edge of the colony, only to take his place further along the line.
The wind will occasionally bring snow to quench the male's thirst, They have been without food now for over 3 months. Each day brings them closer to exhaustion and starvation. Eventually, some, usually the older ones, will simply fall asleep and disappear.
A penguin lies flat on his belly, covered with a thin veil of ice. An eye twitches. There's a barely perceptible movement from his abdomen. His head rests on the ground. The outline of a large black silhouette of the colony is faintly visible against shades of midnight blue. A ghostly mist swirls about the tightly packed colony of penguin fathers. Its icy fingers creep amongst the huddle, then the mist tosses about and rests over the penguins like a mantle.
Now it is dark almost all the time. And the mother of all blizzards is about to arrive. The fathers now make an extra effort to weld their bodies together and resist the winter's rage.
The fathers are packed tightly together.
Above them, the southern lights dance virtually around the clock. For now, there is almost only night.
Rays of quivering white and golden light churn across the sky, a kaleidoscopic brilliant vision of flashing illuminations turning and twisting in space. While the females swim, a large seal lurks in the water beneath the ice.
The hungry mothers aren't the only ones overjoyed by their return to the sea. Their predators, unfortunately, are happy to have them back as well.
A penguin nosedives into the sea, sending out circular ripples across the water. Beneath the surface, the females dart playfully. The leopard seal with spotted fur glides close to the seafloor. Blissfully unaware of the impending danger, the female penguins continue to scout about through the water. The seal weaves towards them, displaying a huge mouth of sharp teeth. A penguin jumps out onto the ice. The seal's head turns about in search of its prey. The penguins are swimming under the ice close to a waterhole. They appear to have spotted the seal and dart away. The seal lunges towards them, baring its teeth. One after the other, the penguins leap out through the hole onto the ice. The seal lunges again and manages to pull a penguin back into the water.
With the snap of its jaws, the leopard seal actually takes two lives. That of the trapped mother and that of her unborn chick, who will never be fed.
The seal drifts off into the darkness with its captive clasped firmly between its jaws.
By July, the females know it is time to return to their nest. And so, for the third time this year, the mothers take the long walk.
Stars shine in a night sky.
Only this time, they walk in the dark.
A female emperor penguin treads cautiously across the ice on its clawed feet. It walks with a small colony of females. One slips. Nonplussed, she gets to her feet again and carries on. Other female groups appear to have joined them as they all make their way back to the nesting grounds.
The ravenous and freezing night lingers, seemingly without end, until finally the darkness begins its slow retreat.
Light pours over the white wonderland, and the horizon is tinged with the palest pink as night becomes day. Here and there, huge rocky mountains emerge from beneath the snow. The females continue their pilgrimage across the vast plain. Their male partners wait patiently, still in a tightly packed huddle, still with heads bent over their breasts, and each one still rests his abdominal brood pouch over an incubating egg. As a dazzling sun rises, a male penguin opens one eye as though from a very long sleep. The sun's golden rays spread across the fields of ice, temporarily illuminating the glistening white plains. The rays diminish as the sun goes behind a distant outcrop, then reappears.
After many months, light returns in earnest to the South Pole, but only momentarily. And yet, it is enough.
A male raises his brood pouch to reveal a small, jagged hole in his egg.
Their victory over winter has begun. Their efforts have not been in vain.
The male lowers the fold of skin so that it once again covers the greeny-gray egg, and inside it, the small chick that is just visible through the hole. The father raises his pouch again to check on the hatching egg. A penguin looks across a snowy landscape. All appears still and tranquil.
Though the light is returning, the winter is far from over. The worst is actually yet to come.
Some male penguins squeeze into spaces in the tightly packed colony, heads bent forward with their backs to the elements. At the outer edges, the fathers create their own kind of revolving travelator by waddling together, all in the same direction, round and round the group. At the center of the colony, the coziest place to be, all one can see are a mass of bent heads.
No matter how cold it is or how hungry they are, the fathers must keep moving. If they don't, they will die. But then,
a tiny chick appears from under its father's brood pouch. Then another little newborn appears in the broken fragments of its egg. Everywhere, little chicks have arrived and are perched on their father's claw feet. The fathers peer down at their chicks attentively and snuggle them with their soft, furry pouch folds. Every now and again, a little chick will pop its head out with an eager call for food, only to be enveloped once again by his father's warm, protective skin.
Each day, more eggs will hatch. But this chick is hungry. He needs the food in his mother's belly. But his father is hungry, too. He hasn't eaten in nearly 4 months now. If his mate doesn't arrive soon, he will be forced to abandon his child and return to the sea to feed himself. He will have no choice.
A father looks ahead at the white wilderness, but there is still no sign of the females.
But there is one secret weapon against his newborn's hunger. The father coughs up a milky substance. Despite his own hunger, this tiny meal has been relegated to a small crease in his throat just for this moment. This little banquet will keep the chick alive for a day, perhaps two. Hopefully, long enough for the mother to arrive. For some, it is already too late.
A father taps at the tiny frozen body of his chick lying at his feet. another little chick rests its head on its father's claws. His father's beak reaches down to him encouragingly. Far away, there's a huge penguin army whose numbers stretch across the vast snowy plain. It's the females returning to the breeding grounds.
The mothers step up their rhythm, as if sensing the urgency.
One after the other, the mothers drop to the ground. Falling like a deck of cards, they toboggan on their bellies over the ice. After a stretch, the females rise to their feet once again and plod on, rhythmically swaying from side to side as they go.
They shuffle along as quickly as possible, hauling their overstuffed bellies one last mile. And then, at last, they are back.
The males raise their heads in unison and all look eagerly towards the returning females. A frisson of excitement quickly spreads through the colony. In the center of the huddle, males lift their heads and call out to their partners. The outer rows of males still shuffle round the colony, but now with barely contained thrill. Some look like they're going to break ranks. The army of females split up and waddle about the group, searching for their partners.
To find each other in the enormous crowd, the penguins must rely on sound, not sight. As they circle, the returning mothers trumpet loudly and wait for their mates to call back.
Chick pokes its head out from under its father's pouch.
The sound is deafening. And yet, somehow, each of them will hear their mate's song.
A female waddles up to a male, stands close by, lowers her head, and waits. A tiny little head emerges from under a furry fold of skin. Throughout the colony, females are finding their partners. A father checks his chirping chick. Then, curling his claws up, he carefully inches towards a female.
The couple has found one another. The mother sees her chick for the first time. And at last, the family is together.
With great effort, the tiny chick pushes up its father's brood pouch and turns round. The female lowers her head to look at the little creature perched on her partner's feet.
And just as they did with the egg, the parents now quickly pass off the newborn from one to the other.
The female shuffles closer to the male. He steps back a little to deposit the chick on the ground between them. The female immediately places her feet either side of the chick. The chick is eased onto them. Then the mother curls up her claws to hold the chick there. The tiny chick shivers, and its mother gently lowers her warming brood pouch over her offspring.
Now, it is the mother's turn to protect her chick from the fierce cold.
Nestled safely with its mother now, the little chick opens its beak wide and chirps.
The father and his chick sing to one another, making sure each knows the other's voice. It is the only way the two will find each other when the father returns.
The mother opens her beak wide and regurgitates food for the chick to feed on.
As the chick enjoys his first real meal, the father prepares to sever the bond between them.
The father remains close by while the chick feeds hungrily.
It's not easy to do.
Finally, when the little chick is satiated, the father turns to begin his journey.
The fathers have gone without food for over 4 months. They will have lost as much as half their weight, but still they must walk for over 70 miles. This leg of the journey may be why there are fewer males than females. Each year, some of these new fathers will not make it back to the sea.
The father's portly appearance, with their black tailcoat feathers and white shirt fronts, belies their starved condition as they waddle slowly towards the horizon. Their groups are small and fragmented. In the far-off distance, the silhouette of a curved mountain peak rises towards an orange-hued sky. A shimmering mist appears to embrace everything. A huge golden-orbed sun dazzles as it sets in a brilliant sky. The breeding grounds are now a creche of mothers and chicks.
Like the sun, the chicks grow stronger every day. But they are not yet ready to leave their mothers.
A chick scratches at its fluffy abdomen with its beak. Another boldly calls out for food. Two mothers stand facing one another while their babies are huddled on their feet. Another chick has learnt to balance perfectly on its mother's feet with its little claws resting on hers as she steps across the ice. A pause for the chick to peck curiously at a pebble. A doting mother reaches down to her baby and nudges it to feed from her open gullet. The little chick gobbles hungrily. All through the creche, mothers take their babies for walks nestled on their feet. The colony stay close together, going about their daily business, feeding and caring for their young, taking walks and engaging with other mothers. The fluffy, cuddlesome chicks are growing and are covered mainly with soft grey down.
In time, after being perched atop their mother's feet for 1,000 paces, like a child learning to dance on her mother's shoes, the chick takes his first steps alone.
The plump little chick with its rounded body and tiny flipper wings steps off its mother's feet and falteringly waddles a few paces. Within time, it joins the other toddlers as they scurry about. As if preparing for the adult routine of keeping warm, one chick tries to squash in between two others as they line up beside a little ridge of snow. Tumbling over and looking like a ball of cotton wool, a chick rolls down the ridge, then picks itself up at the bottom and goes to cozy up by its mother. Now a little steadier on its feet, a toddler waddles alongside its mother. It loses its balance, trips up, then carries on, sticking closely to its mother. A chick climbs headfirst back onto the safe, cozy haven of its mother's feet. The toddler has black fluffy down in a distinctive T-shape along its nose to its little beak and above its eyes. The down around its eyes and below its beak is pure white. Now back home, a chick settles down on its mother's feet. A furious icy wind blows over the breeding grounds.
With the wind's return, the temperature drops. This year, winter's going out with a bang.
The wind sweeps about the craggy cliffs of rock that rise jaggedly out of the frozen ground and flutters like a muslin veil over the colony of penguins. Specks of snow sit like a sprinkling of icing sugar on the black fluffy down of a chick's head. The colony stick together in a close-knit group. A mother carries her snowy chick about on her feet. The icy wind continues to lash through the colony. As the weather worsens, the still shadows of the adult penguins on the glinting snow look like a megalithic monument.
This is the first storm for the new chicks, and many of them will not survive it.
An adult plods amongst the colony with no chick huddled on her feet. The extremities of the chicks are covered in icy snow where they poke out from beneath their mothers. Three penguins stand in line with the wind buffeting their broad backs. A little chick peers out from beneath its mother with a hungry cry. With little shifts and shuffles about to keep warm, the penguins remain in a close huddle. Here and there, little groups are packed together tightly, splintered off from the main colony. A tiny chick, whose little head is completely covered with ice, perches almost immobile and sleepy on his mother's feet, as the wind continues to rage viciously. The storm has passed. A creche of toddlers stand together, shivering a little in their fluffy grey coats.
When the winds stop, the search for lost chicks begins. Some have kept warm by huddling together. Others have not been so lucky.
The frozen remains of a chick lie abandoned on the ice. A penguin bends over a dead chick and nudges it with her beak.
The loss is unbearable.
A mother checks on her still-living chick, reaching down and prodding it tenderly with her beak. Another mother gently pecks at her dead offspring as though trying to revive it. She remains standing by her frozen chick, while others covetlessly nestle their living issue. The unlucky mother steps up to her dead chick again, pecks at it lightly and cries plaintively over it. She stands by the little creature as though in mourning.
Every year, some bereft mother will respond to her agony in an unimaginable way. Having lost her own chick, she will attempt to steal another's.
The mother of the dead chick moves in on another mother and baby and wrests the chick from her.
But the group will not allow it.
A clutch of penguins rush forward, and in the ungainly scrum that follows, the bereaved mother is forcibly pushed away. The natural mother regains her chick by laying on top of it. She's shoved along the ice with it. Finally, the battle won. Three penguins stand guard as the natural mother straightens up and, using her beak, she coaxes her baby back to its rightful place between her feet. The bereaved mother is forced to move away.
Back in its mother's care, the chick is not eager to leave again. Despite having known each other only a few days, the bond between mother and child is surprisingly strong. In the next few weeks, it will only grow stronger.
A mother bends down over her baby tenderly. A chick opens a sleepy eye beneath its mother's thick blanket of feathers and skin. The chick's tail and feet poke out at its mother's front end. A chick reaches up to its mother's beak. The colony of mothers and babies stand in a loose group.
Winter's grip slowly weakens, and the chicks begin to run free.
An adult penguin leads a line of chicks along the ice like a nursery teacher in charge of a class of toddlers. The chicks follow dutifully. Three other youngsters frolic around the feet of an adult. A couple of other little ones bicker. A bigger chick pecks a little one when no one's looking, and a mother nudges her youngster along ahead of her.
Some need a little encouragement. But eventually, they all find their way.
The little chick reluctantly takes a step and raises its tiny wings in resignation. Another chick is pushed along backwards by its mother's foot. A crèche of babies huddle together in a tightly packed group, a dress rehearsal for what they too will do as parents in the dead of winter. Other little ones scramble about with their peers. With tinkling chirrups of protest, they jostle and squash together. One chick struggles out of the centre of the huddle. It stretches its wings and wanders off. While another climbs over a few downy heads to get to the best position. In the centre of the huddle, with their heads bent, the chicks look like little balls of fluff. Adults surround the crèche, keeping a watchful eye. Supervised by an adult, a chick stretches its neck and bends its head forward, then flaps its downy flipper wings. Another little tot waddles quickly towards the huddle of chicks and, head down, determinedly burrows its way into a space. Looking not unlike a lone standing skittle, a solitary chick peers round curiously. A southern giant petrel flies round the side of an ice cliff.
Winter may have ended, but the dangers have not.
The large seabird with a wingspan of about 2 meters soars through the cool blue sky above the breeding grounds. A chick scurries across the ground below. The petrel sails through the air above the colony, then swoops down. Flapping its massive wings, the petrel comes to land near the colony, steering clear of the adults. It has a huge bill with long tubular nostrils on top. It has mottled greyish-brown feathers, but its head, neck, and the upper area of its breast are off-white in colour. It lunges at three penguin chicks. The chicks scatter. The petrel grabs the smallest one behind the neck with its horny bill and hangs on. The chick wriggles and manages to get away. The petrel snaps at another chick, but the youngster scampers away. A cluster of chicks huddle together. The petrel, with large webbed feet, scurries after a lone chick and nips the back of its neck. Two adult penguins waddle forward, the chick escapes, and the petrel is left with a bill full of down. Undeterred, the petrel turns to the cluster of chicks and pecks at one. The chicks scuttle away. The petrel grabs one by the neck. The chick escapes, but the petrel catches it again, pins it to the ground by the back of its neck, then roughly shakes the life out of it. In a flurry, the other chicks dash to an adult penguin and escape back to the colony. Penguins don't stray very far from the colony, but stay in a loose group, keeping most of the chicks together in a creche.
It is late August now, and time for the mothers to return and feed once more.
A mother begins to walk away from the colony. A little chick scuttles after her.
For some, this development is unacceptable.
The mother plods on doggedly.
But it is also non-negotiable.
The chick scurries along in its mother's shadow. Soon, there's a line of adult penguins heading towards the sea, some sliding along on their bellies. Some chicks struggle to follow.
Because they are old enough now, the chicks are left alone for the first time.
Unable to keep up with their mothers, the tiny chicks soon lag behind, until they are forced to stop and watch their mothers disappear over the ice. The white landscape glints under the sun's dazzling rays. Here and there, huge ice mountains rise like monuments out of the ground. Tall cathedral-like structures and towering pinnacles where drops of water drip from glistening, translucent rows of icicles.
As spring arrives, the ice packs near the ocean's edge begin to melt, shortening the distance between the sea and the breeding ground. It isn't long before the fathers return, their bellies heavy with food.
A chick watches a group of waddling fathers rejoin the colony. A clutch of babies hurry forward, curious and eager. One dips its head rhythmically and chirrups.
The chicks will gather at once to meet them and sound their calls.
Fathers move amongst the fledglings.
The returning fathers will circle the excited newborns and listen until he hears his chick's call.
A father steps up to a chick and reaches down to it. The baby dips its head as parent and offspring communicate to one another.
Some will never find their chick. The newborn will have died from cold or hunger, or at the hands of some predator. But for those that do find their young, the reunion is a joyful one. And very quickly, the young chick's belly will be full again.
A father regurgitates food for its baby. A contented chick with a huge swollen belly closes its eyes sleepily. Chubby babies perch with satisfaction by their fathers.
For the next several months, the parents will take turns, shuttling back and forth to the sea for food.
Penguins with snow-white shirt fronts and yellow collars waddle in a haphazard line across the ice. A chick holds up its open beak. Its narrow, pointed pink tongue vibrates as it waits for food. The chick stretches deep into the open beak of its parent to retrieve food from its gullet.
And occasionally, the new family can actually spend some time together.
A pair of penguins face each other with their heads held up and their beaks almost touching. A downy grey chick perches between them. The adults gracefully curve their necks and bow their heads. Together they slowly raise their heads until they almost appear to caress each other's tenderly. Then they lean towards each other until their breasts rest one against the others, forming a comforting, protective haven for their chick, which stands between them. A droplet of water gathers at the end of an icicle. Once swollen, it drops into a melted pool of water. The ice shelf has broken into large, jigsaw-type pieces.
By September, the ice has begun to thin and crack. The sea gets closer, allowing the parents to go back and forth more frequently.
Everywhere in the great melt, icicles are dripping.
The chick's new coat of feathers is now thick and full, enough to protect them on their own.
Their new coats are still a soft grey-white, but fluffier than ever.
And by November, the ocean is within a few hundred yards of the breeding ground.
Islands of soft, crunchy ice bob in the water. Water droplets sprinkle from a wall of ice.
As the ice melts, the brand new family prepares to go their separate ways.
A line of adult penguins set off across the ice. A chick watches, but makes no attempt to follow.
The couples, locked for the past 9 months in their ancient ritual of coming and going, will now part for the last time.
Two adult penguins clamber over a narrow gorge between two shelves of ice. Robust youngsters stick together.
And as their newest members look on, the tribe returns to their home at last.
One after the other, the adults plunge headfirst through a hole in the ice and dive with relish. Their chicks watch a short distance away.
For the next 3 months, they will lavish in the rich and warmish waters of their short summer. They will feed, and they will play, and in all likelihood, their chicks will never see them again.
A chick grooms a wing with its beak.
They will remain here, alone and unsupervised, for a few more weeks, growing stronger.
Jagged ice cliffs drop into the ocean. Mountains of whiteness provide a scenic backdrop to a sea of melting ice.
The ice continues to melt, returning the borrowed water to the sea.
Ice particles bob in the water like debris. A chick sails along, perched on an island of ice.
And beckoning the young penguins into the ocean as well.
A crèche of chicks waddle cautiously to the water's edge, tripping and falling over little clumps of snow and ice as they go. Mimicking their parents' dogged march, each chick picks itself up and carries on until they are all gathered at the tip of an ice shelf. The chicks are shedding their fluffy feathers and getting their adult coat.
It is now December, and they are ready to leave the place where they were born. And although they have never known the ocean, nor touched it, they, like their parents, are of the sea.
Reflections of the penguin chicks shimmer in the water. The chicks scratch and groom themselves with their beaks.
And so, one day, they'll take the plunge and go home for the first time.
The next generation of emperor penguins drops into the sea, feet first. Flapping their flipper wings, they flurry about on the water, splashing and moving en masse, further and further away from the familiar ice shelf on which they were reared. Breaking the smooth, mirror-like surface of the water with their enthusiastic scramble, the penguins disappear into the distance.
For 4 years, the chicks will live at sea. But as the sunlight begins to disappear at the end of their fifth year, and the warm days begin to cool, they too will climb out of the water. And they will march, just as they have done for centuries. Ever since the emperor penguin decided to stay, to live and love in the harshest place on Earth.
ITFC audio description by Aileen Downey, read by Joanna Myers. Narration, Morgan Freeman. Assistant Director, Jérôme Maison. Submarine Photography, Patrick Marchand, François de Ribérol. Production Team, Kali Ligetwood, Catherine Marconnet, Amandine Henrion. Production Manager, Daniel Longuin. As the credits roll against a black screen, a postcard-sized moving image of the film crew plays alongside. The crew, who are all dressed in orange polar clothing, trek across the snow, dragging their equipment behind them on sleds. The sun glints down on the ice as one of the crew takes a tumble. A freezing mist sweeps about as another pans his camera over the colony of penguins gathered at the breeding grounds. Carrying a camera on a tripod, one of the team trudges over the ice. Two men walk into the distance to set up a shot. A couple of penguins waddle about curiously amongst the crew and pause to study a cameraman on his knees in front of them. A penguin nibbles at a camera. The penguins appear to accept the film crew into their fold, albeit a little inquisitively. Two birds look up at one human standing in their midst before flapping their wings for the camera. One of the humans stands alongside the colony. The penguins, looking like a gathering of little people, reach his thighs. Several little heads rise to watch the strange creature in orange walk on by. A wall of blue ice rises behind a cameraman. The crew film a meandering line of penguins in the distance who make their way across the Antarctic wilderness. A white balloon, to which a small camera is attached, is released into the sky to capture the colony from above. The sun sets, casting a brilliant glow over the land as a man pulls his sled behind him. This film has been shot on location in Terra Adélie with the permission of the French Overseas Territories. This motion picture, copyright 2005, Bon Pioche, APC, Warner Brothers Entertainment, Inc. Screenplay for narration, copyright 2005, Warner Brothers Entertainment, Inc. Original score, copyright 2005, Warner Barham Music, LLC. Bon Pioche, APC and Warner Brothers are the author of this motion picture for the purposes of copyright and other laws. Any unauthorized exhibition, distribution or copying of this film or any part thereof, including soundtrack, is an infringement of the relevant copyright and will subject the infringer to severe civil and criminal penalties. Distributed by Warner Brothers Pictures, a Time Warner company. www.warnerbrothers.com